GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
The only person that works harder than a Central Maine Power lineman is on line three, Linda Ball of CMP. Linda, welcome back to the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing pretty well.
Fine.
Powered lights are on. Heat's going. Coffee maker works.
That's a great start, isn't it?
The microwave works for George's tea, and that's all we need.
That's what is we all want. You want to walk in your house, throw the switch on, the lights come on. And when that doesn't happen, everybody starts panicking and complaining, right?
So you know what? So let's start right there. So God bless the crews that's lost some of their weekend cleaning up after last Friday's windstorm. How'd you guys manage?
You know, I hate to say we had a good storm, but we did a great job restoring, 180,000 customers in 3 days. The linemen are phenomenal, aren't they?
They are. And
especially when you find them rolling up on your street.
God bless them. It's always a really welcome view, isn't it, when that truck pulls down the street and you know it's time.
Yep. Yeah, on Facebook or any social media platform, you'll see, I don't have power, but they're down at the corner.
And there's great excitement.
Well, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions about it. I'm sure you deal with it all the time. I had somebody say to me recently, why don't they put all the lines in Maine underground? And I looked at him for a minute and I said, and how would we do that? And how many billions of billions of dollars would it cost? Power lines are what they are every place in the country, really. There are a few places. Even when you have power lines underground, some of the lines are above ground, so you're still going to lose power.
It's still going to happen sometimes. And in a wicked storm like that with 50-mile-an-hour winds, it's real hard to avoid all of them. Yeah.
I learned from a power exec this weekend that the big culprit to putting power lines underground in Maine is not the fact that the ground freezes. No. It's the fact that, you know what it is, George? What is it?
I'm guessing it's, other than money to do it, is ledge.
Slate.
Yeah.
That you've got to drill through a whole lot to put them down there, and that's the storm that was. We're glad we're back on. Now, we don't know what meteorologists are going to do to us, talking with Linda Ball of Central Maine Power, as we come to this Thursday night into Friday. We are due some winds. There is something that is going to be a measurable amount of snow, and it gets our mind thinking that we should all, as consumers of electricity, prepare for winter, should we not?
We really should. It's time. I had frost on my windshield this morning, so it's time to start thinking about winter, start buttoning up your houses, and making sure you're ready for the weather coming.
Well,
we've got some great tips on our website for people to go and take a look at, too.
We all think we know how to get ready for winter. I was doing it yesterday, and everybody lives in Maine would say, well, we're used to this kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is many of us aren't really well prepared at times. We put it off.
It's hard not to. Nobody really wants winter to get here, right? But things like inspecting your furnace, checking your smoke alarms, making sure your batteries are functioning, making sure you've got your attic buttoned up and doors closed tight and fixed drafts, those are all really important things every winter to get ready so you can manage your energy usage and so you can keep your house warm and toasty until spring gets here.
Now, George lives alone, so he's not yelling at the kids to shut the lights out all the time. I am. The other thing I'm doing a lot of is telling my kids to close the closet door. There's 15 to 20 square feet that I don't need to heat. But there are some logical things that someone can do to conserve their use of electricity. And I think someone pointed out that you've got some of that on your website, Linda.
We do. We've got some good energy-saving tips on the website. We've got some winterization tips. And then just a lot of good education so that when you are using appliances, you know how much it's going to cost. Because there's nothing wrong with using them. It's just really good to be educated about how much energy they take and how much money that's going to translate to. And then you can make wise decisions and be informed ahead of time before your bill comes so you're not surprised.
I'm not a CMP customer. I'm an Amera customer, but once a week, they send me a text message or an email, I guess, that tells me how much power I use this week and whether I'm up or down from last week. So they well, you use 14% more power this week. You know, I have those imaginary people who live with me, and I yell at them, get the lights off.
That's a neat tool, though, isn't it? We've got something very similar. It's called Usage Alerts, and it'll actually send you a weekly update from your smart meter telling you how much you've used from your last bill date until that day. So I get one generally every Tuesday that tells me what my usage is incrementally, and then that matches up more or less to what my bill is on that last day of the month. So I'm never super surprised when my bill comes. So I've gotten some warnings along the way.
See, you never know how much you're using until you actually take the time to track it and then calculate. You got to look at the bottom of the ledger, the P&L statement. I'm talking with Linda Ball from Central Maine Power. One other thing we wanted to dig into, and you don't notice it unless you rip open and actually read beyond how much do I owe the power company on my bill, and that is this standard offer. Some of us go with a different energy provider. You can choose one, I guess, or you can just use the standard offer. And then the standard offer is what many of us end up paying. Can you dig into the SO for us and explain what it means for us and our bills?
Sure, absolutely. We deregulated here in Maine many years ago, and that means you can choose your supplier. CMP is always your delivery company. We make sure the power gets to your house. But you can choose any number of competitive energy suppliers is what they're called, so CEPs, or you can go with the standard offer, which is administered by the Maine Public Utilities Commission. So they have a price-setting process every year, and they announce what the price is going to be, and that price is actually changing later this month. So it's going to be important for people to take a look and understand whether it goes up or down, what the impact is going to be on the supply side of their bill. So you pay one price for delivery, and that comes to Central Maine Power Company. You pay the other price for your supply, and many people are on standard offer supply. And that money gets paid to CMP, and then we turn around and remit it to the Maine Public Utilities Commission to pay the actual suppliers. So that's an important distinction that customers don't always recognize. You know, they send the money to us, but we don't keep that piece of the bill.
Yeah, Rick brought it up here this morning. I was looking at I guess I've had to make a decision in the past. I've always taken the standard offer. I guess maybe I take the safe way out. I'm thinking I'm taking the safe way out because I don't know who the others are.
That's true. That's true. You don't know, but you can make educated decisions on that. And the Maine Public Utilities Commission actually has links on their site to the competitive energy suppliers. So you can find out the names. You can find out contact information. You can see some of the more recent prices and then go out to those suppliers. In some cases, people may decide that what the suppliers are offering, the CEPs, whether the price is higher or lower, it might be a better option for individual customers. So it is a free choice.
You
really want to educate yourself on that.
Let me ask George a question. You aside, Linda, so I don't drag you into something that's controversial. George, didn't we just recently hear in the news of an organization that was offering energy? Is Electricity Maine, I want to say that's the name of it. I don't have it in front of me, in which there were some questionable dealings in which they,
yes.
And I'll double check as to who it is, but that goes right along, Linda, with what you say about do your homework. There's an opportunity for savings. Find out if the standard offer is for you.
Exactly. Central Maine Power remains very neutral in all of those conversations because, again, regardless of who your supplier is, that money is not ours. We it's on our bill. We bill for it. That's part of the rules. But we don't keep any of that money. So we don't offer opinions on what supplier you should choose. We just encourage people to actually look at the facts and make really good decisions for themselves.
It was Electricity Maine. I found it.
Okay.
Yep.
We've been through a bad one. The leaves were still on the trees, and it created all kinds of problems. So we were getting gusts very near hurricane force in some spots. And you had to restore a lot of people. My guess is there's somewhere around 180,000 people or so over the 3 days. Now, some people, I was very fortunate. I got mine back in about 10 hours. Many people went 3 days not many people, a number of people had to go about 3 days. That's what people sometimes fail to understand. You have to get what the biggest group of people fast, because that's the easiest way out. Is that true?
That is true. And we also start with the biggest lines generally. You've got to get the transmission system working first, because without that, it doesn't matter what we do on the side streets. They're not going to have power. So transmission and then substations, and then you get your three-phase and your primary wires up, and then you do more of the house-to-house stuff. So if a customer has the power taken literally off their house and the wire comes down and takes off that weather head where it attaches to their house, that's going to be a slower fix. If it's a primary line down and that primary line goes up, we get a lot of customers back on all at once. But you really have to work out from the point where the electricity starts. I think the other thing that's really hard is people don't know how long it takes to set poles. We had dozens of broken poles in this weather event. So it's not just putting the wires back up. You've got to put a new pole in the ground first. And before you can do that, you've got to clear the trees, right? Because you can't move the wires and reset a pole until the trees are out of the way, or because it's just not safe. So there's a lot of detailed work that goes into that, and it has to happen in a very orderly fashion. So if you're in an area with a lot of trees down and a lot of wires down, it takes a while to get all of that put back up.
Do you have a degree in electrical engineering? Wow,
I've been doing this a long time.
you know your stuff. I hope half of what she said, George, isn't on the midterm. Otherwise, I'm going to copy off your paper again, and look what that did to me last time. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.